Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our meditation this morning is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Thus far, God's holy word. In the name of Jesus, whose birth has set us free to be children of God, dear fellow redeemed. On Christmas Eve in 2002, Jack Whitaker bought a lottery ticket that would change his life. By the time he went to bed that night, he knew that he had matched the numbers to the Powerball jackpot. But when he woke up in the morning, well, that is when he finally realized just how rich he had become. Not only did he match all the numbers for the jackpot, but he was the only one to do so. That netted him a then record $315 million. After taxes, it was $113.4 million, but still a life-changing amount of money. When you went to bed on Christmas night, did you know that you were rich too? When you woke up the next day, did it cross your mind that you just received something that makes the Powerball jackpot seem like pocket change? If not, then you really should have. At the right time, God sent his Son to put himself under the law so that you could receive an inheritance worth more than all the wealth in the world. Is that reason that today you woke up rich? But not just today. Every day you wake up rich. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians in an effort to save the gospel from being corrupted in that church. The people were being told that believing in Jesus wasn't enough to save you, but you also had to keep the law of Moses. At the very least, avoid eating unclean foods and still make sure you are circumcised. Now, this doesn't seem that unreasonable at face value, but what it really does is it misunderstands the original purpose of God's law. The law God gave to the Israelites was never meant to save them. It was not to be on the same plane as the gospel. It was supposed to point them to their Savior. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. A child of a wealthy Jewish family was often put under the watch of a slave. He would serve as his guardian or manager. This was to prepare the child for his future life, taking care of his education and development. So yes, that child was still a son of the father and an eventual heir to the inheritance. But until that time had come to pass at which the father had determined, well, that child is just a child. He has no more advantage than a slave because he does not receive the inheritance. The Word of God worked in a similar manner. The law of God worked in a similar manner. The lives of the Israelites were guided to the T. They were told what to eat, what not to eat, what to drink, what not to drink, when to sacrifice, what to sacrifice, what to do, what not to do, what, how to remain ceremonially clean, etc. And until the day came that God had set to bring to pass their inheritance, that of the promised Messiah, they were stuck under this law. They would be constantly reminded of their sin, their failure, but also on their dependency on that promised inheritance of a Savior. The same was true for the Gentiles. They didn't have the Mosaic law like the Jews did, but Paul writes to the Romans, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law." The law that Paul is talking about is a moral law that God had written on every human being's heart. It is what tells us that it is wrong to murder, steal, lie, rebel against your parents, and so on. And apart from Christ, whether it is the law of Moses or the moral law of God, we are all enslaved to the law. It calls us out when we have done something wrong, demands that we do something to make up for what we did. The law can train, threaten, and punish, but it can never do more than make you a slave. It cannot save you or make you a son. After that, it doesn't sound like you're very rich, does it? That's because the law really shows us how broke we are apart from our Savior. Having nothing to our name, but instead completely in debt towards God because of our sin. And yet, as I mentioned earlier, remember the purpose of the letter to the Galatians. It was to save the gospel, to remind them of what the gospel was for them. And so Paul goes on to say, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." You see how Paul sets up the gospel for his listeners in the perfect way. First, he shows them how helpless they are when seeking salvation through the law, even just a part of it. All it does for them is make them slaves. But now he shows how Jesus has taken the requirements of the law and fulfilled them in their place, giving them a free pass to the inheritance as a son, no longer as a slave. How did he do this? Well, in the first place, it began with his birth. Jesus was born of a woman, but not with a human father. This fulfilled the very first promise God made in Scripture: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed." It was necessary for Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary, so that his conception was by the power of the Holy Spirit, not inheriting the sin of Adam. Secondly, he was born under the law. Now, this might not stand out as much to us, but it really is incredible on the part of our Savior. Imagine if you, as a full-grown adult, had to go back and live with your parents under their rules. They even told you when to go to bed, when you were able to eat. It's hardly anything any of us would be jumping to do. And yet we see Jesus, the very creator of the universe, the Lord over all things, do just that. He subjected himself to the very law that he established, the law of Moses and the moral law. And why? so that he could fulfill every demand that the law requires. Every time that you and I have failed to meet those demands, Jesus submitted himself under the law so that his perfect record could cover yours, your failure, and mine. While our obedience is flawed and ruined by sin, his was flawless. Jesus rendered complete and perfect compliance. And then, on top of all that, allowed himself to be judged guilty by both Roman and Jewish law. He allowed himself to pay the price that our sins deserved, so that we might receive the adoption as sons. In ancient times, the inheritance passed through the oldest son. And so through Christ, you, me, and all others who call upon Jesus as Lord and Savior are sons of God. Paul wrote in the previous chapter, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Because of Jesus, the penalty of our sin is taken away. Their staining mark on your record expunged. And yes, while we are still under the law in that we sin and it convicts us of our sin, no more do we have to seek to make up for the wrong things that we do through the deeds of the law. Because you are a son. You are an heir of God's free grace and mercy. God's forgiveness is yours because of Jesus. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Our sins separate us from God. It made us afraid of the punishment that we deserved. But that all ends with Jesus. Rather than fearing the presence of God, the Holy Spirit has taught your faith to see the Almighty, the one who sees all that we do, good or bad, as our dear Father. We're not slaves driven by the threat of punishment. We are heirs of the richest kingdom that has ever or will ever exist. Even at this very moment, you have an eternal inheritance in your hands. Because of Jesus, you will live forever. Your soul will never die. Your body will live again. And as Paul told the Corinthians, all things are yours. Whether the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ and Christ is of God. Forget the lottery. You already own the world because God uses all things for your good. And even if that were not enough, God says that you will inherit a special place in the world to come. Why don't we always feel like we're rich? Why is it that we feel neglected, downtrodden? Well, it's not because we don't have the inheritance. Sometimes we lose sight of the inheritance that is ours through faith in Christ Jesus. We see problems that arise in our lives and we look at them through the lens of our own eyes rather than the eyes of our God. But whether you feel the richness or not, whether you feel the love of God or not, whether you feel His forgiveness or not, it remains yours because of your Savior. And that will never change. Do you know how Jack Whitaker's life went after winning the Powerball? It wasn't good. He lost two family members, one to a drug overdose. He was robbed multiple times. He got into legal trouble and ended up more broke than he was to begin with. At the end, he said, "I wish I would have torn that thing up and thrown it away." It's not so with our inheritance. We are rich now. When Jesus returns, things get even better. Awaiting us is a rich inheritance of eternal joy that words cannot possibly describe. That is why today you woke up rich. And not just today, every day into eternity. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.